Welcome to another episode of Troubles and Transitions in the Healthcare Hustle. I'm Wendy Wink, your guide, and today we are talking to Brax. Brax is the founder and CEO of Stealth Bros & Co. He's been featured on Shark Tank. You can find him on all social platforms and on stealthbrosco.com. I'll leave that link in the description. Stealth Bros & Co. is a forward-thinking brand dedicated to providing high-quality products tailored to the needs of underrepresented medical communities. Founded on the principles of inclusivity, empowerment, and innovation, Stealth Bros & Co. offers a range of stylish and functional accessories designed to enhance the daily lives of individuals of all gender identities and expressions. From sleek dop kits to versatile duffels, each product is crafted with meticulous attention to detail and a commitment to durability. More than just a brand, Stealth Bros & Co. strives to foster a sense of belonging and pride within all communities, celebrating diversity and individuality with every design. Help me welcome Brax. Discretion is advised when listening. Sensitive or triggering topics are touched upon. If you are struggling with mental health, there are websites and hotlines on the podcast's homepage, as well as on each episode page. The crisis hotline number you can call is 1-866-488-7386, or you can text START, S-T-A-R-T, to 678-678.
Starts school tomorrow for her first day of school tomorrow.
Oh, first day of school. That's huge.
Yeah, she'll be two in October. She's been home with me the entire time. I've been teaching her literally everything that I do. Now she's at the point where I feel like she's smart enough to let me know something's going down. So I said she can go half day, 2 days a week.
I wouldn't let my kids with anyone until they could speak and tell me if anything was going on. But I had mine back to back, so that was a good 4 years.
Oh my God. God bless you. Because I'm like, my wife is like, should we have another baby? I'm like, I don't know. I want one for my daughter, but.
Yeah, mine are 14 months apart, and it's a lot.
Yeah. How old are they?
15 and 16.
Okay. Well, going on 15, going on 13. So two older boys as well. So I know how it is with that.
Yeah. Nobody warned you about how much you miss the little ones. Like, I miss you guys loving me. Remember you liked me?
Right.
It was cool.
Now you're bro, right?
Yeah, bro. What's up, bro? And I don't understand half the things you're saying. No, I do. Thank God I'm on TikTok. They teach me there. I'm that cool mom.
No, you're the cool mom. You're the cool mom.
Definitely not the cool mom. I try, but I'm just not. It's just not happening. And I'm 43, so now I just don't give a fuck.
Yeah. That's how you have to be with them. And they actually like it better like that for whatever reason.
It's also like, you stay in your lane, I'll stay in mine. How's that?
Right. They get a little crazy once in a while, but you know.
I also raised two really good teenagers, like good heads on their shoulders, staying out of trouble.
Where do you live exactly?
We're in Hawaii, in Honolulu. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
They have no idea how much change they've done in the world. And that's really cool to me. They are making differences in people's lives.
For sure. Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. For sure. That's so important.
Yep. Yeah. Good kid. So you're a nurse as well. Are you practicing now, or are you just I don't mean just, because believe me, I know. On your entrepreneurial trip alone, is that?
Yeah. So right now, since my daughter was born, I stopped working. It wasn't intentional. I actually wanted to go back to work after she was born, after you can take 3 months off or whatever. But the work just kicked up so much from Shark Tank, and I had the CVS deal. It was just a lot going on that I was just like, you know what? I'm going to try to sustain myself at home, because I really didn't want to leave my daughter. And my wife was going back to work, and I was like, she didn't have a choice but to go back. But I had, Stealth Bros. So I'm like, I think I'm going to just try to stay home, because I don't want to leave her. I don't want to put her in daycare. I don't want, I love our family, but I just didn't, I waited a really long time to have my child, so I really take on that responsibility and raising her and cultivating her in a way that, that I see fit, and I just couldn't send her away to just be shelf. I mean, not saying they shelf the kids at daycare, they don't. That's why, she's going to a she's actually going to a daycare in like two towns over because they have the cameras and they have everything that I need to feel comfortable with her there. So we're gonna try tomorrow. I'll probably cry a bunch, but that's
Oh
okay.
yeah. You'll be the one
But
crying and not her because that's how that one goes. Like
more,
with my
yes, yeah.
youngest, that's what it was like. I was the mess and he was like, "Bye." Like, "Why are you crying? What's wrong with you?"
that's what I'm hoping because I'm so active outdoors with her and she loves the park. She loves kids. She has a bunch of cousins on my side and on her mother's side. So she loves being around kids. When the kids are there, she's like, "Bye, daddy," but she doesn't want, but if they're, if the kids aren't there, she's like, "No, nah, I'm not going with no other adults. I just want my dad." So it's like that. But I think that if she sees the other kids playing and running, I think she's gonna go right into it. But if they're not active, that's the only thing that I'm gonna be a little concerned about. She's gonna be like, "Nah, I'm gonna go home with you now. Bye-bye."
You're in Jersey, right?
I'm in
Or
Jersey.
yeah, 'cause I'm from Massachusetts.
Okay,
So
cool.
I worked in a daycare. I worked in the same daycare that I went to when I lived in Massachusetts
Wow.
long ago.
That's
I was actually the first student of that
crazy.
daycare ever. I started in infancy, and then they started daycare because they absolutely loved it. And then I worked there, and then I sent my oldest
That's
there
awesome.
for preschool when they were two, when I went out there for a summer. So,
Oh.
yeah, that was, they got preschool. The other one didn't. He's fine. He's fine. Kind of.
It's fine.
He also
Aaron need a
wasn't
preschool.
nursed, and
I
Kylie
think it's a
was. Like, it's a big social experiment going on in the home right now.
That is absolutely okay. That's how you parent. You
Yeah,
gotta figure
right?
it out, you know?
So far here, like, if you breastfeed queer kids, queer parents, everybody's queer. If you don't and you don't send them to preschool, boring ass kid. That's the results of my study, and I'll be publishing that when I have the chance.
That's
Cool.
fine. All right.
Be an entrepreneur. That's really cool that you went on Shark Tank. I just filmed a reality entrepreneurship show in March.
Oh, really? That's awesome.
In Oklahoma.
Oh.
Yeah, so that was a different experience for me being in Oklahoma. Yikes. So
I think.
I've been here 17 years, so
Okay, so yeah. Definitely, probably a little bit of a change for sure.
yeah, terrifying one. Why everything's so white? Like something's off. Alarm
Right.
bells are sounding. I'm like, this is too white. What's happening? And people are like, no, this is normal. Like, this is
This is how we
normal
are.
population.
Right.
I'm like, no.
There's no
No.
color here.
Yeah. I'm like, there's a bunch of white people and a couple of black people. I need something's not okay. Like,
We need a little bit more diversity here.
yeah, they're like, this is the US. I'm like, I don't like it. I don't like it. Send me back to the Kingdom of Hawaii. Ooh.
That's so funny. That's so funny.
Yeah, that was
Awesome.
another thing about filming that show is I was like, how safe is this gonna be? Because, and I don't know if you had these feelings too, but right before going, I was like, I'm going somewhere where I'm walking into a rich white man's
Space.
party. Yeah, I mean,
Yeah.
that's their territory.
For sure.
And that's
Scary.
uncomfortable.
Yeah, no, it really is. I think that I was prepared for that because I placed myself in those spaces with my other networking opportunities, and I started to realize, a lot of people, the main question people ask me, they're like, you're black and trans. What's the most, like, what are your difficulties? Because I just assumed I have multiple difficulties. And, which is fine because that's the state, right? Which is fine. But the funny thing is that what I do, I don't know why, I don't know, I just developed this mindset that it's like, yes, like that's a good thing. I'm black and I'm trans, so they're already looking at me. They're already, I'm already
Eyes
the
on you.
oddball, right? And that's what I want anyway.
I
So
love it.
I try to utilize that and say, if you're going to look at me, you're going to be wondering what I'm doing. Let me talk to you about my business and what I do. And I think that because of what I do and because it serves so many communities, that people tend to gravitate towards that. And then it's like, okay, now there's an opportunity there, or another networking connection or something like that. But yeah, I really just use it to my advantage, even if I feel like, damn, there's gonna be a bunch of white people in here. But at the end of the day, I like it. I don't know why, but now
No, I ended up like that's where I ended up finding my people. Like I had no idea that I would. I was very, very scared. And the other entrepreneurs there, those were my people. And the ones investing, those were people that had been in my shoes for a different cause, probably, but they had been in my shoes. And they were there to mentor me. And it was, yeah, it ended up being a lot cooler than I had imagined. In my head, I was like, oh God, like, am I gonna get killed? Because I was, I think, 20 minutes away from where Next Benedict had been or had passed away just like weeks prior. And that was tough inner stuff for me. My kid's the same age and like just yucky. And then just going into this space. And I'm a very privileged person. And I think the knowledge of that too might bring the discomfort up more because I know I look like I fit in. I can take the queer off. I can take, I can take a lot of my non-privileges off and be a very privileged white woman. But yeah, it's a discomfort that I wasn't prepared for, but I was very afraid that, the second somebody, I was alone with people and they would say something very Trumpy that I'd be like, yeah, and not be able to like be me. And I'm very vocal. I'm very like the loudest one at the protest. And I had this fear I wasn't going to be able to uphold that with cameras and being by myself, just being alone. And I was surprised that I was authentically me. And I said the things that no one wanted to hear.
And that's okay. That's sometimes you need to do that.
And
Sometimes
that, I
you need to
mean,
do
it might be what gets me airtime, like you said. Like, who is
that.
this white girl bitching out all the other white girls for crying in a room and saying they just made the most dangerous space here? And then explaining in the white space why it's dangerous. Like, I just did that thing. I just did the thing that I talk about. I'm like, holy shit. So yeah, it was a relief. It was also a relief to come home.
Yeah, no, for sure, me too. I was like, yeah, it was crazy for me. It was like a situation that I still have a hard time wrapping my head around, but it happened. It's over now. It's just
I
crazy.
watched your segment.
Yeah. Oh, did you like it?
Just I watched because I didn't want to learn too much about you because that's, a weird predicament you get into podcasting. I don't want to like, oh, I stalked everything about you. So I just watched because I didn't know and I reached out to you. I had no idea that you were had been on Shark Tank. And yeah, I only knew you through Zai forwarding me your Instagram and was like, this is where I got all that stuff, those bags. And then Zai's like, oh, I can't wait for this crossbody one, blah, blah, blah. And so I get the link and I'm like, oh, the bag guy, all right. And then
I'm the bag man.
like I know who that is. There's like bullet-shaped little Sharps dispensers. Like that's what was in my head. And because I work in trans healthcare, so
Okay.
hello. But yes, then I realized through talking to him, he was like, yeah, he was on Shark Tank. And I was like, oh shit, get out of here. All right.
It was
But
fun.
so,
Yeah, that was
yeah, then I
cool.
got to forward you to my friend Jeff, who was on the show with me, who runs a little store out in Wisconsin. It's an LGBTQ store. But those links that we make when we're out here trying to do our thing,
Yeah, no,
grinding.
that's awesome. I love hearing that. I love when people are like, "Oh yeah, I shared you with such and such." I'm like, that is so amazing. Like, it's just amazing how like connection and all that stuff works. It's just it's such a I it's just it's so fun. It's
And how
so fun.
now, I mean, we'll get to when we finally make enough money, we'll be able to carry your products with us because that's what we do. And that's really exciting stuff.
Do you live near the water?
Well, I guess everything's near the water,
Yeah, I
so
guess so, right? I guess. I've never been to Hawaii before.
It's we are near a beach, but I wouldn't swim at
Okay.
it. There are areas that aren't the paradise you would imagine, which
Right,
I
I'm
didn't
sure.
know when I moved here. I moved here in my 20s though, without a plan, and was like, oh, I'll be fine.
Right.
There's a city, there is a homeless problem, a lot due to the number of Haole people moving here and jacking the rent prices and housing prices up. It's just it's in trouble. It's in a lot of trouble right now and should have just been left alone and not colonized, but colonizers be colonizing.
Yeah, that's the truth.
You'd be doing
But
that thing.
they do have protective land out there, though, no? They should, right? Or is
They
that like
should.
the
They
problem
should.
going on right now, I guess, right?
Yeah, so they have Native Hawaiian homelands or homesteads that
Yes. I watch YouTube. I know nothing, but I watch YouTube. I
yeah.
watch a lot of that stuff, so that's why I've said that, but
Yeah, there's a documentary actually called Prescribing Hope. You learn a lot about the homesteads and how the list that you get on to get a homestead is 100 years long at this point. And
wow.
we're
And
just
so why?
encroaching on that. But what's happened to the native folks out here are there are people that are straight descendants of royalty and will never see anything because the people that have been on the list for longer. Their family has been on the list, and so
Right.
they're getting those things. It's sad. Again, it's America and it's stolen land, and we're seeing it happen in Puerto Rico, and it's awful. It sucks. It's America.
That's how it is. That's how it is. What are you going to
Yeah, so I mean, being here now and having all that knowledge, I just do the best I can to improve upon what I see. And I
do? Right.
know, here in Hawaii, there's in native culture, there's a third gender, mahu, and that embraces both the male and female spirit. And there's mahu wahine and mahu kane, and that's a trans woman or trans man.
Oh, that's
And
awesome.
so native people are now seeing the folks that came and stole their land and then stomped out their culture fighting
Wow.
for rights, which is I would assume really hard.
Yeah,
So
I can imagine.
yeah. So we've built our nonprofit pretty much around the fact that we're in Hawaii. There's more room for one of me, and I'm in that room. So sorry, everyone.
This is my space. Yeah, you have to though. You have to. You have to.
So, when you were working in healthcare,
Yeah.
did you witness a lot of instances that you felt the need to intervene in or just witness people who are facing discrimination due to being part of any part of the community, whether it's gay, trans, queer?
Honestly, one of my patients, he was male presenting. He was at my facility for about, I don't know, like a year or so, and he was on my unit. And I'm really close friends with all my patients because that's just how I am. But either way, that was one of my buddies. But he decided to make the decision to transition from male to female. And mind you, at that time she was 58 years old, living in the room with another male. And we had to go through this process at work, which thankfully it was very seamless because everyone at work knows that, that I'm trans, and there was never any issue there. I always feel like, because of my, I always like feel like because of my specific journey, that even though I had privilege, being in that space, because I just feel like I was so accepted, but at the same time, I feel like it's because I accepted myself. And once you accept yourself as trans and you're okay with it, and it's almost like, water off your back, and you're just like, it's just another, it's just a part of me, you know what I mean? And you're not really too concerned about it, then the people that you're around aren't focused on it either. They're just like, oh yeah, that Rex is trans. It's like not a big thing, you know what I mean?
You
But I don't,
forget. People forget.
right. People forget, right. So I think that because of who I am in that area, and I was a supervisor, I was the lead nurse, a lot, everyone knew me. So it was like one of those things where people were very respectful, but of course you do have your older patients who don't want to respect them, and may use wrong pronouns and so forth. But I think it's just all about education, and that's how I always, like, even with the whole thing with walking into the room with all the cis het men, it's the same thing at work. I just think it's about just showing up and just being like, hey, like, not, can't do that. You know what I mean? Rather than making it like a combative argument because I'm trans, you're disrespecting that person. Now they're trans. Now I'm really angry and irate. You're angry and irate because you're already irate. So it just doesn't help. But in the situations that I've been in, I think because I'm just really laid back, I'm just like, we got to do better. You know what I mean? Let's try to focus on this. And I think like that mantra and that like energy just kind of shifted to the people, and there really was no issues. I mean, we got her into her own room, a private room, and the facility started to make adjustments and actually start, well, in New Jersey, it's mandated that they have in services for nursing, LGBT, care and things of that nature. So it's pretty progressive over here in New Jersey as far as like, safety around like trans and queer rights and things like that. So it's actually really, Jersey's expensive to live, but as far as our protection, I feel like we're very protected here in New Jersey. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah. It's a definitely a different experience from someone who's like in Texas or North Carolina or something like
Oklahoma.
that. Yeah, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Lord. But it's there's a lot of areas, and that's the whole thing. I always grew, even in my childhood, my childhood, I grew up, my both of my parents, they no one cared. I was dressing like a little boy. No one even said anything to me. This is why I was lost half my life, because I'm thinking what I'm doing is okay. You know what I mean? No one really judged me. My sister was 3 years older than me, super feminine, very girly girl. No one ever said anything. You know what I mean? No one ever said anything. And that's, I transitioned at 27 years old, and that's just kind of how it went, because I was ignorant to the community because I just didn't know. I was just like, I live my life, whatever. Yeah, which was great. I had a really good, a good, I have a good family. So yeah, it was good for me. You know what you like, and I'm even seeing that with my daughter now. And she's, because my wife, we before we had her, we're like, oh, we want her to be this way, we want her to be that way. And I just
Ha
want like a suit. I was like, I just want a little princess baby girl. I want my baby girl to be my baby girl. People are like, how can you say that when you're trans? I'm like, I want to live my life, okay? Let me live.
Yeah, those are two different things.
So, but you know what? My daughter is so left and right. She is so brute and strong, but at the same time, she's very feminine. So I feel like you ever see those volleyball girls that play volleyball? They're like really thick. That's how my little girl.
Yes.
She's a little
And
thickum.
then but gorgeous and like
Yes, she's
sweet.
super gorgeous, super, super gorgeous little girl, but she's just athletic. She's just athletic. But yeah, I think that's the lane she's going in right now. Well, who knows? We'll see how it goes. I'm along for the ride. Like right now, her favorite thing is planes. She loves planes. I'm like, hey, you want to be a pilot? Let's focus on getting you there.
Hey, pilot's a good job. Like, this is my princess. No, bitch, you ain't getting
Yeah, you ain't getting no
that.
princess.
Right. Like, I have a video of this child. I think it was their 15th birthday. And I'm like, D you still want to be a princess, right? Let's have a princess birthday party. And I threw them a, this is awful. I am a good mom, I swear to God. I threw them a Hello Titty birthday party with boobs everywhere. They were 15. They love
That's fine.
boobs.
That's
So, you know
fine.
what? I was like, let's lean into it. You're getting boobs everything. Like, they got a big old boob cake. But at the end of the night, I said, you still want that princess party? I said, put this on. And I gave them one of my sparkly dresses and my heels. And the video of them trying to walk in those heels, I don't think I've ever laughed so hard in my life. They could
My
not take two steps without, I did not get a little gentle princess. I got a 6 foot non-binary kid that will knock you out if you don't have
God.
respect.
Listen, I am not mad at all. I am not mad at all.
I love it. Just ask you some fun questions.
No, go for it.
All right.
Right, you big know-it-all. Did you know? Hey, Gooseberry Crunch. Did you know?
Mind if I smoke salsa?
You often start to ponder about how huge the universe is and how insignificant we.
Can you smell me?
Woo, doggy.
What is your favorite word?
My favorite word, probably shit.
Does your 2-year-old say
She does. Poor,
it?
poor baby. Because it's not my favorite word, but it's probably the thing that happens to come out the most. And when you asked me that, that was the first word that came to my mind was shit. Because what is my favorite word? Honestly, I think, no, seriously though, I think my favorite word is discipline.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, I really would think that's like probably my favorite word.
Nice. How about your least favorite word?
My least favorite word. This is fun. Let me see. My least favorite word is no. Who wants
I
to be told
love that.
that?
However, I wish I could say it better because I'm not very good at using it.
I think that's a mom thing. I don't think moms
Oh,
can say no. I think that's like a problem you
man.
all have.
Yes, it's awful. People pleaser to the max. So if, regardless of your spirituality, religion, anything, beliefs, when you expire, you end up at the gate, there's gates, and you end up, and there's a big sky daddy in front of you. What is he gonna say to you? Like, what are his first, his, I'm assuming their gender. What are their first, her, you know what? What are her first words to
You know what I was gonna say? What? You did it, girl. You did it, girl.
And then she misgenders you. I'm like, fuck. I'm out. I'm out of here. This place sucks.
No, for real. I don't know. I just think that I think that my higher power is pleased with me, as much as people may not agree with that. You know, I really think that my higher power is pleased. You know, I believe in Jesus, and I believe that, you know, I believe that I would be one of those people that Jesus took with him, you know, because that's who he uplifted the most, were the people that were going through things and needed him by their side, you know.
Yes.
And for judge and all that. And I really just think that continuing, like, just spreading that love and just, you know, trying to stay positive and stuff, I think that even though I may, you know, maybe the Lord or whoever is displeased with the decision I made, but they also know my heart and my soul and the human being I am and the work that I do here on this earth, you know. And I think that is what's most important. So I think that they will be very pleased with me. I would hope so. I am not perfect, and I fall short multiple times. I do pray, and I do humble myself and ask for forgiveness for things, you know, if I'm not happy with certain things in my life. And I think that's important, just to center yourself, you know, just maybe not even, you know, asking for forgiveness, but just recentering myself and just saying it's okay, you know, with whatever's happening at this moment, you know. And I think that's what Lord wants for us all, you know.
I'm in recovery, so I feel that a lot, and I feel like you know, whoever anyone's higher power is, they don't make mistakes, whether it's, you know, Jesus or the universe or whatever. There's no mistakes being made, and so if you're happy, you're probably doing something right. And you know, it sounds like you are living a very Jesus-like life, unlike a lot of people that would say Jesus is not going to accept you.
Right. But why? Which kills me, because there's never been a time where Jesus never accepted anyone in the Bible, ever.
Right, exactly.
He literally died for our sins.
Yeah.
So that we could stop sacrificing animals every week because of what we've been doing. Mm-hmm. I mean, people don't even read the Bible. I mean, it's so wild to me sometimes. But that's why you just keep on loving them anyway, and you just say prayer. Yeah, that's all you can do.
Exactly. Those are the ones. You're helpless. I'm out.
Right. Pretty much. Yeah.
And then, okay. If you were a vegetable, what vegetable do you think you would be?
I would definitely be broccoli. Even though broccoli is a man-made vegetable, but I think I would be broccoli.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, it is. It's not a real vegetable. It's made.
I'm devastated.
How devastating, I know, along with corn and But yeah, it's but yes, broccoli is a man-made vegetable. But I think that if I was a vegetable, I would be broccoli. Only because broccoli has like the big like fro, you know, and I have like long, I don't have long curly hair now, but I actually have a small fro right now because I'm growing my top out and I have the sides faded. But yeah, I would consider myself broccoli, and it's green, and you know, God love the money, so green. Yeah.
So do you feel like, I love that, you know, issues really haven't affected you too much, even intersectionality. So with that being said, do you feel as though at all being a man has given you that privilege to?
Yeah. No, I mean, absolutely. It's kind of crazy because, you know, of course I've had struggle throughout my transition. I think we all do. I just think that you get to a certain point where you are able to reflect and say, you know what, that's just part of my process, you know. not only was I transitioning, but everybody around me too, you know. It's a little bit different for me because I was older, so I'm like, you know, I know this is going to be hard for some people to make that adjustment, which I was willing to lean into, you know. And I tried to run from my job like everybody else does, but you know, as a nurse and you work in one area, all the nurses work at every single facility. That's all nurses do. They hop around, so you can't really hide. And but once I started to pass, once I started to pass and stuff, things became a lot easier. But also, as I was passing, I started to realize, you know, people always respected me, I feel like, to a certain extent, but it was always like, I'm still a small person. So, you know, back then, before my transition, it was like, oh, I'll do it for you. And like, you know, just like, I got it. Or like, you know, or like maybe not, if I'm like asking someone to do something in my position at work, they like didn't want to listen, or just, you know, indirectly, not directly, but
Almost like a
indirectly, you know
pat on
how.
the head.
Yeah, like that. But like once I transitioned, it was like, oh, okay. And I feel like because I gained a lot, I was already confident, but I gained more confidence and I was very strong in who I was and or who I am. And, you know, I think that projected, but it was like, wow, like this is really it. I still have these experiences, but it's such a wild transitioning is such a wild experience, especially for me because I was 27 when I did transition. So I had this whole experience as this, you know, female life, and then, you know, then experiencing this male life. And it's very wild. Like it's a really wild experience because you're like, wow, like why are people like this? You know what I mean? Even like when I go into like the Yeah, but it's like almost like I always tell people that like transitioning into male, like okay, like women is like an estrogen based body, and then obviously male testosterone based body. But like males have like this secret society amongst them. Women don't know this, but there is a secret society amongst men. It's very weird and nasty, just to be honest with you. But either way, it's you experience things, let's just say that, and you understand from a male's perspective, even when it comes down to like, you know how like you know, you have like little boys running around chasing little girls, and you're like, oh, like why do they do that? You know, you're like, what? But
Boys
it's
will be
like,
boys.
right. But that's like a real thing.
It's
Like,
true, yeah.
it's a very true hormonal situation that they're going through that is uncontrollable. And that's the crazy part. You know, going through a puberty at 27, you're like, whoa, there. Okay. I get this now. I totally understand this now. And now I'm like not mad at all. I'm just like, okay,
No,
like
now
this
I'm
is what
not
you're
mad at,
like.
really, because I watched Zai at 31 and I saw mad. I have not seen anger like that.
Oh yeah. And that's another thing. Like, you know, experience like being in the estrogen based body, like I like to say, you know, you have a lot of emotion, and the emotion has felt like all over your body as a woman. Like you have emotion all, you feel it all over your body, you know, you cry, you know, you have a, it's, I don't even want to say
Like
softer
a
or harder because every,
range.
yes, it covers you. But like as a male or a testosterone based body, the energy and the emotion comes right from the center of the chest. And it's like an enragement, and it's like in your hands and in your chest only. It's not in like your head or your tears or like your back or your legs or anything like that. It's all focused right into the chest. And I think that's why the you know, males move and act the way that they do is be it's all this science-based, you know, hormonal thing. You know, ultimately, on why we are different as, you know, male and female, we're all the same, really. But, you know, that extra testosterone does something to your body for sure. For sure. No, for sure.
I've been blessed to experience this like beautiful change. I mean, there are highs and lows to it, absolutely, and I can't imagine what those highs and lows feel like, because I'm just experiencing them on the ride. But yeah, the skin issues and the different feelings, and then the passing, not passing, voice. The people that I work with too, when they come in, I have to say so many times, like, you're seeing something different than I am. This isn't who I'm looking at. What I'm looking at is a woman. You're not looking in the mirror and seeing a woman, and that breaks my heart, but I am. I'm seeing a woman. Yeah, it's, I can't imagine the feeling.
Yeah, no, I, it's a hard situation. It's hard for, you know, it's really hard for everybody, but, you know, making the decision to transition, whether, you know, male to female to male, it's just, even just coming out as non-binary alone is hard, you know, because that's how I kind of first came out, was like non-binary, because I knew who I was on the inside and I felt that way, but because I wasn't presenting in that way, I felt like I had to be non-binary, almost in a sense. Like,
yeah.
I had to accept that part of my transition just so that people would understand where I was within my transition, if that made it makes
yeah,
sense.
Yeah, no, but, absolutely.
Yeah, so I felt like that for a little while, and then like, pass, and then like once I started to actually take the hormones, I'm like, no, I'm he, him, like, this is who I am, that's yeah. it, even though I wasn't really presenting in that way as much, you know. But then as time went on, things started to change, and you know, it was hard at first, of course, but you know, it, the changes do come, and as long as you stay consistent and you know who you are, and things will work out. So
yeah,
I think that's really what it's all.
And I think it's really cool that you come from such an understanding place with people just needing education, because they really do. And I had never come from that place before that I went to film the show. I have always come from a very rage-based, like, you're not just ignorant, you're a terrible fucking person. And that's just not true of most people. They just don't know. And I think it's a lot to do with me. I fight insurance companies, health insurance companies, to cover care that I know is medically necessary. I'm trying to help them understand that it's medically necessary. And so I'm screaming on the phone about intravaginal hair growth. And so in my head, everyone that is like, has any kind of trans folks, I'm like ready to fight. Like, all right, Susan, take out your hoops, kick off your shoes, we're throwing down. But I
know that's right.
Yeah, but I learned, you know, a lot of these people that I was encountering, especially when I was in Oklahoma, because it was people from all over the country, just didn't know anything. And when I started to explain a lot of the biology-based stuff, like that SRY gene on the XY chromosome. And you know, it's not just as simple as chromosomes. Right. Like, listen, this is how extensive it is. And this, here's a short list of, you know, chromosomal abnormalities, as they're called in books still. But, you know, and I know that being intersex, I know that science is just going to keep evolving, and we're going to realize that it's so much more common than even now. It's as common as being a redhead, the same percentage, 11%. I think as we progress, we're going to see that number go a lot higher, and I think it's going to be connected. I think we're going to connect the dots and realize, like, oh, this has nothing to do with gender dysphoria in one's head.
Right.
There's a disconnect in the body. It's you know, in the genes and chromosomes and the hormones. But I look forward to that day. So, but I mean, you know what? There's some people that you can't even talk science with, because idiots are going to be idiots. Ain't nothing you can do about that. They don't care about
that. Nothing you can do about that. Yeah. Trust me, I fight with the trolls every day online. Lord, oh my God. I'm like, I'm like, why do I even respond? Like, I'm like, I'm gonna be running in circles with idiots all day long. And sometimes I do let it get the best of me, but try not to run in the rabbit hole with these fools and just keep it moving. But no, I totally understand.
And I don't know if health insurance, every single person that works at health insurance may be one of those people. I'm not sure, but convincing them of medical necessity is has proven quite difficult. I have gotten some people covered for some things that I was pretty impressed with, but
Well,
not
that's
everything that I like.
well, my wife literally just started working for Horizon Blue Cross Blue Shield. She works from home now. So I'm like, you better approve those surgeries.
Well, so their Blue Cross Blue Shield on like in America
Yeah,
is
they're good.
fantastic. Yeah,
No, it really is. It
here
really
is
is.
awful.
Get out of here,
They're the
really?
worst here. So they're HMSA here. And oh, that's who I have the most fights with. They
Oh.
are awful. And we passed a law a couple years ago, House Bill 2405, that if insurance covered one procedure for anyone, they
Right.
could not then deny it for someone for gender affirming care based on the fact that it was cosmetic. There were
Okay.
no blanketed cosmetic denials.
Okay.
So that gave trans folks a lot of hope. But again, electrolysis, nope. And they'll use laser because a lot of people are guys for phalloplasty are using their thighs, their inner
Right.
thigh for the donor skin.
Right.
And, surgeons
God bless
want, I know, and they want their inner
Sorry.
thigh to be just as the skin on their forearm is. And I'm
Right.
thinking, oh my God, like, how would I ever make my body like that? But
Right.
first, you need that permanent hair removal,
Yeah, you do.
which, if you have dark skin at all, it needs to be electrolysis, or you're going to be burned. And
Oh,
yeah, and so that's another thing about, Native Hawaiians here. They'll cover laser, hair removal, which is not even permanent, but they won't cover electrolysis, which is needed when you have dark skin.
I didn't know that. I had no idea about that, to be honest with you.
So hair removal is like the number one most expensive part of a transition for most trans women.
Right.
So that's
Imagine, yeah.
what we started out doing, like why we're a nonprofit, why we exist at all. But now we're an electrolysis school too. So we're pumping them out, getting
Yeah.
everybody in on our cause.
I know that's right. Right. But I mean, obviously for surgeries, it's a thing. You need to have that.
Well, that's a
But
lot of it is for donor tissue, and that's, it's not
yeah.
covered. So that's why we
Right.
exist to work on that donor tissue.
The clitoris is the penis, technically.
Yeah, absolutely. You can, all
And
those
it's
organs are.
elongated. Yeah, it's elongated within your body, so it can grow, to a certain extent. So I wonder if that would help. Yeah, that would be awesome. I would definitely take that over the surgery. No disrespect to the surgery, just not for me. But yeah, it's too intense. It's too intense right now.
There is, though, and I've told people this, I identify as a woman, and that's almost unfortunate because I learned that there's a method of phalloplasty called the Big Ben method, and which I just would want to say it, to be honest. To like, give me the Big Ben.
Give me the Big
That's
Ben.
right. Like,
If we're
that
doing
sounds
it, go all the
amazing.
way.
Right.
Right.
And I don't even think it has anything to do with the size. It's just the procedure itself. But it's called the Big Ben method, and I think it's hilarious.
Oh my God. I never heard that. That's so
Oh yeah, I go down
crazy. I'm a
intense rabbit holes. Yeah, so we've discovered all these fun uses for what people consider cosmetic treatments, and I think we're a fun place. Interesting
Awesome.
haps for us. Can you recommend any resources or organizations that you know of that make it easier for people on the same journey as yourself?
Absolutely. The first resource that comes to my mind As far as like, I mean, I have a ton of like clinical resources that I could tell you, all over the states. But as far as like for, for my circumstance with business and being an LGBTQ business owner, the NGLCC is really a strong hub for queer businesses and people who are trying to get involved with, entrepreneurship and just furthering, their careers and what and who they are as individuals. So I would definitely recommend NGLCC, which is a national gay, it's really the National LGBTQ Business of Commerce.
Okay.
Yeah. But that's a really good one for like entrepreneurship. But as far as like it's so hard to even say. I talk to so many different clinics all the time, but literally like all over the states, Southwest. I mean, I just was on the phone with the San Fran Health Clinic. I was just talking to Denver Health Clinic in Colorado. There's just so many different trans-led resources all over the states. It's just about the area that you're in. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, do your spiel about your stuff.
Okay. So I'll just start from the top a little bit, give a little bit of background, right? You want some of that?
Yeah, I want people to buy this shit.
Okay, awesome. So yes, so my business is called Stealth Bros and Co. We are a luxury dop kit company that provides dop kits for all underrepresented medical communities. We were founded on the need of the transgender community based off of my own personal need. And I realized, as working for a nurse for 7 years at the time when I started the business, that there was no place for our medication that looked nice. And I said, no, we have to change this. So that's when I decided to come to our community with the dop kits, the luxury dop kits, and people love them. And now you have to get one for yourself.
Yeah, and then you have to get the crossbody one. When is that coming out?
Yes. Okay. So that's going to release actually this week. It's going to
Ooh.
be coming
All
out.
right.
But yeah.
What does the
Yeah.
sword, what do the swords mean? Because I went to tell him because you had said it, and then I forgot. I was like, oh, it means something really cool, and then I
Yes.
forgot.
So the swords, really
What was
are
that?
just coming together, really. Like iron sharpens iron. And with Stealth Bros and Co., I really wanted it to be a brand that not only uplifted my community, but uplifted all of the communities that needed representation, and to show the world that we're not that much different than anybody else, you know? And when we come together, we're stronger. So I'm trying to use Stealth Bros as a uniting platform to not only share like who I am as an individual, but to just, I feel like I live a traditional life, so I feel like that's easier for the other side to relate to. And I want to be that voice for our people to just have that connection, so that when they meet another queer person, they're like, I met Brax, it's all good. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I
Yeah.
think like that's like my ultimate goal.
Be that bridge.
Be that bridge, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, again, thank you so much. And really, if you
Oh,
need
no
anything,
problem.
reach out and I will provide you with some of those things I told you about. Those would be amazing connections for you to have.
Yeah, no, for sure.
And yeah, we can keep trading resources because we're in a very similar industry. And have
Likewise.
so much fun. Don't cry too much tomorrow. Everything's gonna be fine.
I know. I'm gonna try so hard. I'm gonna
She's
try
gonna
so
have a good
hard
day.
not to. Yes, she will. Yes, she will. Oh, thank you so much.
All right. Have a good one. Nice meeting you.
Thank you.